When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's Wednesday, May 5th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes, our Tribe beat writer. Hoynesy, if you wanted to find somewhere to complain about Angel Hernandez for the next 20 minutes, you've come to the right place. Here we are on this podcast where we will talk about all things Angel Hernandez and his horrific umpiring, as was showcased last night in the Indians' 7-3 win against the Royals. Fortunately, it didn't cost the Indians anything, but there is the play that we will be talking about for a while. We're still scratching our heads over what Angel Hernandez saw, how they arrived at the decisions to place runners at different bases afterwards, and just what can be done about a guy who's so bad at his job, but nothing ever happens.
Yeah, that was a strange play. And Andrew Benintendi still doesn't know what base he belongs on. He was hung up between second and third base for like 5 minutes. I don't think he knew what was going on. So it was just a strange play, you know, and I guess Hernandez, he really didn't hustle out to right field from first base. You know, he was kind of walking out there and lost the ball in the lights. And that's understandable. Those are tough lights to lose a ball in, but I don't know. That was a really bizarre play and a ruling too as well.
Right. Just to set the stage for those who didn't see the replay last night, in the third inning, the Royals had runners on second and third and Sal Perez at the plate. Perez sent a ball in the air to right center field. Harold Ramirez and Josh Naylor converged on it and looked like one of them was going to make the catch. Neither of them did. The ball bounced off the warning track up against the wall and immediately to Naylor, who threw into the outfield. And Benintendi, who didn't know whether to tag up or go to third, sort of got hung up between the bases and was tagged out actually by Amed Rosario because he was off the base. But as Whit Merrifield scored a run that would have scored anyways, had there been a catch or not. Angel Hernandez, the first base umpire's responsibility was to go out and make sure that catch was made out in right field. But because of the LED screens and the video boards on the wall, which sort of whitewash everything with these bright lights, it was really hard for him to see. And admittedly, Terry Francona said it's hard to see with those lights. So Angel Hernandez said he guessed. And he guessed as to whether or not somebody made the catch. He ruled out, and Benintendi didn't know what to do. That's why he got hung up and tagged out. I still don't understand why at that point it's not, you know, advance at your own risk. And once he's off the base, he's off the base and gets tagged out and end of story. But the umpires got together, awarded Benintendi third base with Perez staying at first. Because Perez wasn't going to go anywhere either way. He's, you know, 500 years old and too big to move. But just it sparked just another review, I guess, and a criticism of Angel Hernandez and his not only, just deficiencies in seeing plays to begin with, but then his inability to lead. And that was the crux of you know, the judge's ruling against him in the federal court case where that didn't go his way. And we'll get into that later.
Yeah, just
that was a lot, Hoynes. Yeah, I understand that was a lot.
Yeah, that's just it's just a strange play. And I still don't, you know, really understand why Benintendi was advanced third base. That was a surprise. And I guess they figured, I mean, if they knew he dropped it, if they were going to try to position the players where they thought they'd be, I mean, Benintendi could have scored easy on that play, right? I mean, there's no question about that.
Right. But Benintendi wouldn't have known that they dropped it until
he's halfway. You know, let's say he goes halfway.
He's going to be halfway. He's the most he could get was third base. I guess they assumed that. And that's correct. But when he's not safely on a base either way, when the ball is coming back to the infield, I don't understand why he's allowed to be safe after the play is over. We made a mistake. My bad. Here, you get a base. That doesn't make sense. If we're in the age of replay, where if they come off the base during a steal from oversliding for even a fraction of a second, they're out. Then why isn't he out for not being off not being on a base somewhere? That's the part that doesn't make sense to me.
And what if Hernandez, Angel Hernandez said, what if he said, he didn't make up a call and just said no call. I mean, what happens then? I mean, maybe, or he just says the play's dead, and then maybe they convene and try to get something worked out. I don't know. I don't know what happens.
Because Angel Hernandez has to make a call in the moment in that situation. He has to say something one way or another, safe or out, or that otherwise nobody knows what to do.
Yeah.
And you saw, Rusty Kuntz, the Royals first base coach, and Vance Johnson, the third base coach, either didn't hear or didn't know what the call was. People were looking around saying, you know, what's the call? What's the call? And that's one of the reasons why Benintendi was hung up. But again, you penalize the Indians by saying, oh, well, I didn't make the call, or I wasn't loud enough or strong enough with the signal or whatever. And on the replay, you can see Hernandez walking out to the outfield. He wasn't sprinting.
Yeah.
And he was making a casual, you know, movement with his arm for the out, because he didn't know. In the interview with the pool reporter after the game, he basically admitted to guessing on the call, which you can never do as an umpire. You are at the top of your sport, and you've admitted that you guess and make up calls. You can't do that. And he then tried to say, well, I was, as everybody could see, I was blinded by the scoreboard. Well, yeah, but that's why you're, you know, a crew chief on a Major League Baseball umpiring crew. You've got to do things like be in the right spot at the right time and hustle out there. And really, he just sort of Cadillac'd it, and that's why we're in the situation we were in.
Yeah, and it could have been, you know, there was only one out at that time?
Correct.
So, I mean, that inning could have blown up in their face. I mean, could have really hurt the Indians, and they were fortunate to come out of there with one run. And Henkes did a pretty good job. Sam Henkes, the rookie lefty, did a pretty good job keeping his composure and just kind of, you know, limiting the damage there.
Couple more thoughts on Angel Hernandez before we get into Henkes and the rest of the game there. Obviously Angel Hernandez had just lost back in March his lawsuit against the league. He had claimed back in 2017 that he had been discriminated against, passed over for promotion to crew chief. And the league's contention was it was not because of anything racially based. It was based on his performance and his lack of leadership, basically, in which was a prime example of what happened last night, that as to why he got passed over. This is why Angel Hernandez is consistently rated one of the worst umpires in all of baseball.
Yeah, his reputation is not the best. And wherever he goes, it's like trouble seems, you know, something gets screwed up wherever he goes. And it's, you know, that's part of his fault and just part of his reputation that just seems to, follow him around. And that's hard to shake. That really, really is for a big league umpire.
Well, Terry Francona got his money's worth in an argument afterwards, stayed out there and you know, contended that Hernandez was wrong, and Terry Francona was mad, and he you know, put his two cents in. But afterwards, like you said, Francona could only say things like, you know, why does this always happen when Angel is here? And, you know, I knew if I protested or you know, did whatever, it wouldn't amount to much. A guy like Angel Hernandez has the job he has, and if they haven't fired him for being basically incompetent up until now, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and, you know, he said he thought about filing a protest, but, you know, the Indians win, the protest is gone. So, you know, that doesn't stand if you win the games. But you know, who knows? It could have been, he could have, you know, easily played it under protest. But I think, I don't know. You know, I think he's Tito's been around long enough that those protests rarely, if ever, get upheld.
Right. As far as anything from the league, you know, we'll wait to hear if there's any sort of release about this, but probably unlikely. They've probably told the Indians already, you know, what should have happened, and you just move on and you live with it. Later on in the game, Angel Hernandez had a call overturned on an infield hit by Jose Ramirez, where he called Ramirez out at first base. It was obvious to everybody in the ballpark that Ramirez was safe. The Indians challenged. The review was, you know, overturned. Not an uncommon thing to have Angel Hernandez overturned. But hey, you know, he's behind the plate for tonight's game with Shane Bieber on the mound, which could be a whole nother mess.
Yeah, in the first two games, Joe, just from, you know, being home and watching it on TV, the umpiring has not been great. They have that strike zone is moving around. I know it's a tired job, but it is low pitches, high pitches. You know, we'll see if Angel can kind of reel it in and bring some consistency to the calls.
Well, hey, and you know what? The Indians aren't the only ones who have reason to complain about Hernandez in this series already. On Monday, I believe it was Eddie Rosario bunting for a base hit, got the ball past the pitcher, and Nicky Lopez came in and made a nice play. But in order to make that play, he had to jump out of the way and avoid Angel Hernandez. And Nicky Lopez wound up flipping up in the air and almost breaking his arm on the play because Hernandez didn't know where to be in position and almost injured a player. So, again, just another in the long highlight reel list of things that are wrong with Angel Hernandez. You know, I've gone on for 10 minutes about it. I've said my piece. I'm pretty upset about it because I come from a place of officiating and, you know, a little bit of a background. And I kind of understand and sympathize with umpires and referees, you know, for getting the criticism. But when it's this bad, something needs to be done.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, Joe, if he ran out to right field, you know, is his head moving? Can he, or does he have a better view if you're just taking it, you know, if your head's not moving, if you're running and your head is bouncing up and down, do you have a clear path, a sight on the ball, sight line on the ball?
I don't know. Maybe if he's a younger man, I think there would be less of a question there. But no, when you're basketball officials, football officials, they move. It doesn't affect their vision or ability to see the ball or a play. They can keep their eyes on the ball basically when they're running. I don't think it should be a problem for a baseball umpire to run and make a call at the same time. Yeah. You know, like I said, basketball officials certainly have enough vision to see while they're moving constantly in a game. So, poor mechanics is what caused that situation. Poor mechanics and laziness basically by Angel Hernandez. I just can't believe we have a major league umpire who freely admits that he guessed on the call. I guessed. I couldn't see it. I had to make a call. I guessed. It doesn't register with me. So
There's never been a better time to register for Indian Subtext and get all your Cleveland Indians news with updates from Cleveland.com reporters Paul Hoynes and Joe Noga. Get on board now by going to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians. Our subscriber-based service gives you the latest news, analysis, and more from the Indians. For $3.99 a month, you get everything we're hearing from the team and the first word before things are announced. We text you big breaking news directly to your phone, even before it's up on Cleveland.com. And you can text us directly with your questions and opinions on everything from the team's name to that day's lineup. And it's the only way to get your questions and comments on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Why sign up? Hear from one of our subscribers.
I'm Jeff Heinerson. I grew up there in Milan, Ohio, but I now live out in Idaho. I've been here for 40 years, and my son was born and raised here, and I got him as a birthday present your subtext. And I wanted to thank Paul for sending him a birthday greeting and to tell you that he is really enjoying the subtext. He's not from Ohio, but because he grew up with me, he's hardcore Indian fan. So thanks again.
Jeff and all of our Indian subtext subscribers agree. There's a lot going on with the Indians, and the best way to keep up is with Indian Subtext. Go to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians, or better yet, text Hoynesy at 216-208-4346. Again, that's 216-208-4346. We look forward to hearing from you on Indian Subtext.
All right, moving on. We mentioned Sam Henches. Sam Henches started, he didn't start. He was supposed to start. Yeah. Phil Maton started. Phil Maton was the opener. Terry Francona went full Kevin Cash and used an opener in the traditional sense, in terms of he wanted Phil Maton to get through the first six batters in the Royals order, and he was well on his way until that second inning, and all of a sudden Hunter Dozier doubles and another walk, and then he brings in Henches.
Michael Taylor singled him home,
and then you bring in Henches to face 7-8-9 in the second inning. What did you see out of Henches, and is there something there to build on moving forward?
I think there is something. I think it's going to be a work in progress. I don't think this guy is just going to be the next Shane Bieber and just jump in there and start going 5, 6, 7 innings, that kind of thing, and striking 8, 10 people out a game. I think there's going to be a growing process. I think he's going to be a lot better, Joe, when he gets into a 5-day rotation. He's not coming in with runners on base in the second inning, in an opener type situation. I think they were just trying to make it as easy as possible for him. Like we were talking before the podcast, they wanted him to face, the bottom of the order, come in then, in the second inning or whenever. So, he wouldn't have to go through that lineup a couple times. So, I thought he had a good breaking ball. He had, great velocity, strike zone. I mean, he was a little inconsistent, with the strike zone, but I thought he did okay, just hung in there, kept him in the game. And they were down 3-0, I think, when he left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all of that will come. Remember, Shane Bieber wasn't Shane Bieber his first handful of outings. He needed a couple of months to sort of get into the groove, but once he did, he was established quickly. His command was what sort of, carried him through. Sam Henches doesn't have that pinpoint command, so yeah, it's going to take a little more work to get there. I guess the rotation now is the question. That the last two spots in that order, Henches, yeah, and McKenzie, how long can the Indians go with sort of uncertainty in that until something clicks? And we'll see McKenzie on Thursday afternoon, but he's the clock's got to be ticking on opportunities for McKenzie to go out there and prove that he can keep the Indians in ball games.
Yeah, and I think both those spots, and really, I don't know how many people are in the pipeline to possibly bring somebody up and help them out, because it looks like, I mean, they've got so many young guys. They, and McKenzie, I mean, this works for, Henches and, all those guys at AAA. They missed all last year. So, that they're their progress. They've been set back with it, with a year of missing a baseball, or a year of activity. And McKenzie just coming off that weird start in Chicago. What? 4 walks, six strikeouts, 1 hit, 5 runs, 2 innings. You know, you're not going to see a pitching line like that again for a while. Hopefully not. McKenzie won't. We haven't seen the ability for him to get deep into a game yet, Joe. I mean, I don't think he's reached a fifth inning once. So he's got to be able to do that. He's got to be progressing. You know, there's a question about his velo. His velo is fluctuating, you know, 90, 92. It's not consistent. And I know he loves to pitch at the top of the zone, Joe. And it's all right when you're 90, 91 and you're right at the top of the zone or a little above it and they're missing, the hitters are missing. But if you drop down and you're still throwing there, you're going to get hurt. And, you know, we've seen that. We saw that in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. That's when he's most effective, is when he's, you know, mid 90s velo at the top of that zone and can throw the good curveball. We haven't seen that in his last several outings. So don't know if it's something mechanically or if there's something there physically that's wrong. Obviously a guy who's suffered through a lot of injuries and come back and you know, made it all the way back, but just how healthy is he right now? It could be a question mark for sure. One thing that's helped the Indians the last two nights, scoring late in the game, something they've become sort of proficient at over the last several ball games, and they lead the league or are among the league leaders in batting after the sixth inning and scoring runs after the sixth inning. The number escapes me right now, but it's pretty high in terms of their scoring average after the sixth inning. You saw it again last night with 4 more runs after the sixth. Jake Bowers coming through with a 2-run home run, but really the story of the game, Harold Ramirez playing in only his second game in center field for Cleveland, came through with a couple of hits, a game tying single in the sixth, and a go-ahead double in the eighth. That scored Framil Reyes.
Yeah, that was a great piece of hitting in the eighth inning there, Joe, when he went the opposite way right down the right field line to give him the lead. You know, he's the fourth different guy that's played center field for the Indians this year. Outside of Luplo, he looks like he's the best hitter as well. Now, all he has to do is catch the ball now. So I don't know about that's a question, but you know, they activated him for this Kansas City series because they were facing 3 left-handed starters, and he certainly has swung the bat well. You know, Francona said he can hit a fastball. He's showing that. I don't know where he goes from here. I don't even know if he's in center field tonight. Maybe if Luplo is healthy, he'll move over to center, and Rosario could be back in the lineup in left. But he's certainly an interesting hitter, interesting player, Joe, a guy that, you know, has opened some eyes, and you know, he's added another bat to that lineup where they desperately need it.
And that's how desperate they are at this point, is it's only 2 games in and he's already generated some buzz. Oh, maybe they've found the answer here with him. It's only after 2 games. I mean, he could go hitless for his next, you know, 3 appearances or whatever. It they're so desperate to have that hole in center field filled. Ramirez will, I think, has at least earned another chance, at least one more chance to start in this series at some point. And Bowers last night, the home run, the pinch hit home run, 2-run shot, his first in 69 at-bats dating back to 2019. Kind of felt good for him. He was excited about it, fired his batting helmet down the tunnel after he got into the Indians dugout. And Tito mentioned it was good to see a smile on his face, like he had been, you know, weighted down by the fact that he wasn't producing runs. And he said so after the ballgame.
Yeah, that was good to see. And, you know, I just like kind of where he's at right now, Joe. you know, when you listen to him talk, and you don't know for sure, but he seems like a team first, such a, you know, a team first guy, such, you know, just appreciative of, you know, just getting a chance and coming through finally. You know, you can sympathize or empathize with him. And he seemed to, his teammates seemed to rally around him after that home run. So that's good to see. Bring some energy to the ballpark, to the team. And maybe this gets him going, because he has been hitting a little bit. He has been hitting better lately. You know, he's not an automatic out like he was at the first part of the year, the first month of the year.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, like we said earlier tonight, Shane Bieber on the mound, Brady Singer, the opposition for the Royals. Could be an interesting night with Angel Hernandez behind the plate. Could be an interesting night if the Indians get a chance to take advantage of a young pitcher who, you know, is a high prospect, but, you know, the last time they faced him, he almost no-hit them in Cleveland back last season. So so his confidence will definitely be up for sure. You know, what to expect tonight when Shane Bieber goes out there and tries to make it 19 games in a row with at least 8 strikeouts.
You know, I think they're in a great spot right now, Joe. This is, you know, if you look at, I think they've won, you know, they go 2-1 against the Twins at home. They end that last homestand, 2-1 in Chicago. They're 2-0 here. You know, they've gone from 4 games out to 1 game out in the Central. You win the first 2 games in Kansas City's park, and you got, you know, the defending Cy Young winner going for you tonight. So you're in a great spot. And Kansas City and Chicago are tied for first place. The Tribe is 1 game out. Interesting game, and it could be, you know, this could be, you know, you couldn't ask for a better spot, I don't think, with Bieber on the mound for you.
All right. Well, we'll see if the Indians can take advantage of it tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. Talk to you later.